Welcome to the Pirates Overboard podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostwick, joined alongside Jonathan Luters. We are two student athletes excited to sit down with fellow Pirates to talk about their experience here at the Hall and learn more about them on a personal level. Go check out and follow the Pirates Overboard Instagram page for all of our content. And if you want to go watch our podcasts, go to our YouTube page at Pirates Overboard. So let's get into it.
Thank you, Justin. Today we have on the show Hannah Alexander, senior catcher for your Lady Pirates softball team. We had a great time on the show with Hannah, as we got to go in-depth about Hannah's recruiting process, her experience at Seton Hall as a whole, talking much about the softball team, and much, much more. More specifically, you will learn all about the softball cheers, which Hannah has played a major role in creating, her great thoughts on former podcast guest, teammate, and battery mate, Kelsey Carr, how Hannah still leads her team as one of the main leaders, even with being sidelined with an injury, and how she is coming back better than before. We are really excited to share this conversation with our listeners, so we'll get right into it. Without further ado, Hannah Alexander.
And welcome, Hannah Alexander, to the show. Excited to have you on. Now, last episode, Jonathan, if you recall, we opened up about wanting to dance into the March Madness tournament. Sadly, we are not. We are dancing in the NIT tournament, though. That's some of the big news going on right now.
Yes.
Some of the other big news going on, softball taking 2 out of 3 out of their Creighton series this weekend, and they have a huge homestand coming up. So welcome, Hannah Alexander. How are you doing today? And it's actually finally nice out today. So talk to us. What's going on today?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, last week's Creighton series was really big for us. We got to take 2 out of 3, which was great to get another series win. The team's really starting to come together. We're going to try to rack up some Big East wins and get some good standings.
Absolutely, yeah, that is for sure. You battled some elements on Saturday. You didn't play on Saturday, but on Sunday morning, there was some ice on that warning track they were telling us about, which I'm like, wow, this is treacherous over here in the Northeast. Can't get away with it. It's supposed to be spring, I thought. But what were some of your biggest takeaways from that Creighton win, other than just getting those 2 out of 3 wins?
Yeah, out of the Creighton series, we actually, before then, started to have a little whiteboard in the dugout where we had goals that we can check off every inning that we accomplished those goals. Like, for example, we had score first, or we had get their leadoff out every inning. So, like, every inning that we did that, we were able to put a check on the board. And I think instilling that into the team was, like, a really big and important aspect to have, just because it gave them something to really like focus on, because during preseason we struggled a little bit. But I think just having those little goals to focus on helped lead us into like winning more games. We started doing that in Georgetown, which is where we swept, and then we had 2 out of 3 wins against Creighton, and I think that definitely had something to do with it, for sure.
Yeah, focusing on like smaller like process goals, like not like, yeah, I want to win this game, like, yeah, it's always one when the, yeah, game, like, how are we going to go about doing that?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Almost like a list of, like, we had, like, 5 or 6 for every game we do. We redo them for every game.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, little goals that will lead into, like, the big goal of winning the game.
Right.
Essentially.
Was that something that started this year, or that something that started in prior years since Trish opened here?
We just started it right before Georgetown.
Right before Georgetown. Mm-hmm. Got it. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And how do you go about deciding, like, which ones, like, do you do for each game? Is it always the same 5 or 6, or, like, kind of rotate?
So we, after we warm up and we do like our BP and everything, we come together as a team. People start spitting out ideas. We decide which ones we want to go with.
Oh, nice.
Usually, like, we have like score first and get their leadoff out almost for every game.
Got it.
But we have 6, so we have like 4 more to like decide on what we want to do. A couple of the other girls, like, I think on Sunday, one of them was like, have back-to-back hitters get on base.
Mm.
Like, just something like little like that that's going to help put runners in scoring position and then,
sure,
ultimately score runs.
Score runs. So. Oh, that's awesome. Well, maybe the baseball team should adopt that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I like that.
That's
awesome.
A cool little concept. And I just kind of touched on it before, but a huge homestand coming up. I think your next 13 games or so, mm-hmm, in the month of April, you guys are home. And you guys did a lot of traveling throughout the non-conference and even in this past month of March. So what is it going to be like getting to play a lot of home games in this upcoming April?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be playing home for as long as we are. This is my senior year, so I want to stay home as much as possible, really like take in everything that I can, even going supporting the baseball team after our games, like things that we won't be able to do if we were away. Just like taking advantage of those things during like the last couple of months of being here, honestly. But as a team too, it allows a lot of support to come to the games, which I think helps drive us to play well too, because we run on energy and we're a very energetic team. We're very loud. If you guys have been to our field, you guys know. So it's nice to have people around that are also loud. Like last weekend, the volleyball team came and they were cheering. We could hear them from our dugout. They could hear us cheering. They were like joining in on our cheers, just like stuff like that. Just building energy is how we play our best. So I think being home is really going to contribute to that a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, plus softball games on those weekend series are so much fun, especially as it gets nicer out. Go to the baseball game or go to softball, whoever's first that day, and kind of bounce back and forth between games. Especially when it's nice out. Like, get rid of this cold stuff. Like, yesterday was insane because I was in the booth with Matt Ambrose and I'm sitting underneath the latch. So the wind was hitting off the latch down right where I was sitting. I'm just like, oh, and that booth is not heated. And it was so cold. So I can only imagine what you guys were feeling on the field. So let's get into a little bit of prior to Seton Hall. So what did the recruiting process look like for you, and how did you get here to Seton Hall?
Yeah, so growing up, I always went to like prospect camps at different colleges. I started like really young, like when I was in middle school. I think that was more of like a tactic for my parents so that I wouldn't get nervous if I went to them, because I was going to them when I was younger, so no reason to be nervous now. And then my travel team, I played for Newtown Rock. I played with Kelsey my last couple of years. We traveled all over the country and we got like crazy exposure. We went to like the top tournaments in the country where there were great coaches there. As far as Seton Hall, actually, it's kind of a funny and unique story. I committed very early. This was before the rule. I committed at the end of my freshman year of high school. And at that time, I was on a 16U team, and my coach actually gave us homework assignments to send our schedules out to X amount of colleges, X amount of college coaches. So I was a freshman. I didn't know. I just picked a random list of schools and I just sent them all my schedule just to say that I did it and did what my coach wanted me to do. And the coach at the time for Seton Hall came to watch my games and said that she was here to watch me. And my head coach was like, Hannah, like, so-and-so is here to watch you. Seton Hall's here to watch you. Did you email them? And I was like, I don't think so, but I did. So that's when they started coming to watch me, and they came to a bunch of my games that fall and then into the summer season. And I was invited to a camp, and I came out, and my travel coach actually was like, oh, Seton Hall, like, that's not in a great area. Like, it's like, it seems like it's like a caged in campus. And I was like, oh, I don't think I would like that. So then I was like, I don't want to go to the camp. So then they invited me to come watch the camp, and then I came and watched, and then I took a tour of the campus, and I love it here. I like, this is not at all a caged in campus. Like, yes, there's a fence around the campus, but it's not a caged in campus. I love it here, and I would not have gone anywhere else. I don't question my decision of coming here at all. If I wasn't playing softball, I think I would still come here, to be honest. Awesome. So
love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool how later on in your high school career you got to play with Kelsey. Now you're playing on the same team here. Not to jump ahead, but what was it like playing with Kelsey on those club teams, and how has that transitioned into now playing here at Seton Hall?
So me and Kelsey played together for the first time, I think we were in 7th or 8th grade.
Wow.
We were I know, it's crazy.
The battery goes
about
way back.
Yeah, we were at this camp and they picked players to be on a team for the summer, and me and Kelsey just so happened to be picked to be on this team together. So that's where we met and that's where we played together. And then fast forward a couple of years into our sophomore or junior year of high school, she switched to my travel team, so we got to play together. This was when, like, this was more of like a decision, I think, that was like, oh, I'm going to Seton Hall, Hannah's going to Seton Hall, we know each other, we're pitcher and catcher,
right?
Why would we not want to play together? And we all were like a good travel team. We went to like top competition, so it was like a good move. And being able to play with Kelsey for so long, I'm honestly grateful that I got to spend extra years with her than I did just being in college. And then of course now getting another year on top of that too. Definitely helps too. Like, me and Kelsey's bond has turned into like an ultimate friendship from 7th grade until today and then forward. I live with Kelsey. It's just me and Kelsey. I feel like I'm just always with Kelsey, and honestly, we're just like best friends.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So at this point, can you now just read each other's mind when you're behind the plate and she's at the on the circle, and you're just like, okay, I know what's coming next. Here we go. Let's go. And mm-hmm. she knows that same telepathy. That's so cool that you now have that chemistry where now going into your senior year and now your grad year, you can be like, hey, you know what I'm gonna put? What we want to throw here? Let's just go do it.
Exactly.
So that trust must be so cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think we'll kind of get into it later in this podcast. But you mentioned the grad year, mm-hmm. off this year, out this year with an injury. Talk about like kind of what that's been like. I know it's kind of hard for any student athlete, mm-hmm. for any athlete. It's very difficult with an injury, especially a lengthy injury when you're out for a while. The rehab is really tough. What advice would you give to student athletes kind of rehabbing, getting through an injury, especially a lengthier one as you mentioned, and how to like stay positive, how to be there for the team? Because I'll give you a quote from Kelsey in a little bit that she gave about you, but you're a leader even when you're not on the field physically. So what advice would you give to any student athletes going through an injury?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know as student athletes, like being a student athlete is like really a mental grind and a mm-hmm. physical grind, obviously, but having an injury that you're out for so long is almost like a totally different kind of like mental toughness that you need to undergo. I didn't really know exactly how I was going to feel deciding that I was going to get surgery and how I was going to feel during the season until like I actually got to physically sitting out, not being able to participate. I started to feel it a little bit when I had to sit out of practices.
Yeah.
Because you're just like standing on the sidelines or doing drills and I'm like, dang, like I can't do that. Like
yeah.
that stinks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when games come and like things may not be going well, I'm like, what can I do that could like possibly like change the outcome of this game? Like the hardest part was like being in the dugout, like knowing that I can't go out there and like even just talk to them
sure.
when they're out there, and like if they're having a bad inning, like just going out there, like giving them some kind of words of encouragement in the middle of an inning is really like something that you can't do because they can't go out there. But just being as supportive as possible when they come in from the field, when in between at bats, like I also told the coaches something that I really focused on this year to kind of like distract myself from the fact that I'm not playing, I think, is to find something that the other team's doing, like a habit or a tendency that could help the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, the pitcher wiggles the ball in her glove a little bit longer when she's going to throw a changeup. Like something like so little, but something that can also help the team, like focus on things that can help to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as just being injured and coming back from an injury, the biggest piece of advice I would give is to just trust the process. Like one thing that I struggled with, I think, was when I started my throwing program, I was supposed to go to a certain distance and I couldn't get there yet. And it was like, wow, I failed. And it's like, I didn't fail. I just need more time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just like having a mindset like that is crucial in having a smooth recovery, because something as little as throwing a ball 15 feet closer than you're supposed to that day is not something that's going to ruin your recovery back to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to like change the outcome of like, I'm not healed. Like you,
mm-hmm.
you'll be healed. Like you just need the time
yeah.
to heal. And just like trusting, I trust, like I work with Gabe. I trust Gabe with my life. I literally I listen to everything he says. I know that he's like, he's the best.
He would love to hear that too.
Yeah, shout out to Gabe.
Yeah, but you gave a lot of valuable insight there. And it's like, not that you failed, it's like just, this will take its own time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I take it a little slower, it might be a little faster. As we mentioned before, you're on a really fast recovery, believe
yes.
it or not. She had mentioned when Justin was fixing some audio issues we had, and it was talking to me about how her process of where her arm is going is like a couple months ahead of schedule, which is remarkable.
Yeah.
And before we move on, I want to add on how the fact that you can like look at being out and not playing, but okay, what can I focus on the other team that I maybe not focus on when I'm catching, because I focus on pitcher and hitting and all these different things,
mm-hmm.
that I can help the team right now, is an awesome mindset. That's very difficult too, like, ah, oh, like it's, you don't want to be like, hey, poor me, I can't play and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff. Like you're still helping the team, and I think everyone on your team kind of looks as you as a leader in that aspect. Like, that means a lot, even though you're not playing. So that's really, really cool. Love it. Thank you.
No, it's really, really cool. And so going quickly back to high school, we'll get into Seton Hall a little bit more. But what, when you were in high school as a catcher, what were some of the skills that you were trying to focus on, that like you were trying to showcase college coaches? Obviously, like you said, you signed your freshman year, but like you were still trying to showcase those skills. So what would you say to any young catchers trying to play at the D1 level, like what skills that they should focus on?
Yeah, I personally really, really focused on receiving and just framing balls to potentially look like strikes. I work with like little kids now on catching and stuff, and I tell them, like, you're a catcher. It's like in the name, you catch. Like, you should have a good arm. You can throw runners out, but the amount of times that you catch a pitch is way more than throwing down to second. And so because of that, I really like bought into just grinding on my framing and my receiving. At the end of the day, that's the difference of what can win or lose a game, regardless if you throw out a runner or not.
Sure.
Like, throwing out a runner might take away one run, but framing pitches could lead to them not getting on base at all. So that's something that I really focus on, and I still focus on to this day. Like, obviously now I'm focusing on my arm because I got surgery, but I will always prioritize framing over throwing. Obviously blocking too is more important too, because you don't want to just give up free bases, but just receiving in the way of like framing and keeping the ball in front of me as much as possible.
Love that. And I think we'll bring up the Kelvin Carr quote now, because I think it goes right into it. It says, I just think Han has made such an impact behind the plate, worked so hard for our pitchers, and is the best at stealing strikes for us. And this year, she kind of transitioned into a bit of a different role, but she's been really great for the team and leadership roles on the sideline. So Kelsey acknowledges your stolen strikes, so she can say thank you for that. So yeah. Big time. Love that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you kind of touched on it earlier before we started recording, but like, you guys are catchers in general are put through the ringer. Foul tips and everything. So
yeah.
Props to you and for everything that you do behind the plate. So let's get into the Seton Hall experience. You kind of touched on it earlier. So talk to us about what it's been like playing here at Seton Hall for 3 years. And if you have any stories, bring them up, because we'd love to talk about it. We sat down with Abby Wingo. We sat down with Kelsey Carr already. We got to hear some crazy stories. So bring them all out. We're ready for them. So what's it like playing here for Seton Hall?
Playing here is, privilege. I love playing for Seton Hall. This is the best three and a half years that I've played softball, honestly. Freshman year, obviously, we had different coaches. That was a little bit of like a setback. It was kind of hard to come in as a freshman to have a bad experience almost. I don't know if you guys know, but my freshman year, we had only won 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
And that was rough. Because I was like, is this what college softball is? Like, it was almost like that was all I knew about playing college athletics. And then we got a coaching change, and honestly, that was like a blessing in disguise. I love our coaches. Our new coaching staff is amazing. They're like one of three of my favorite people, honestly, at this school. I think the difference is that they treat us like we're people. Like, a lot of teams, even in like the NCAA, are scared to talk to their coaches. Like, they're not personable, or they're like scared to tell them, oh, I have like this project, I have to be late to practice, like, I'm sorry. And our coaches totally understand that, and they make it a priority for us to put our academics first, which is, I appreciate so much, because I think they understand that for us after college, there is no softball. We have to like go out and like live a life. We have to have a job and provide for ourselves. And they understand that, and they push us to do everything that we can in order to do that after we graduate, which is really nice. As far as softball goes, our coaches push us so much in the best way possible that it like almost teaches us to be a team. Like, they push us all so much to our limits that the only thing that we can do is come together as a team and just like bond over the conditioning that we just did or the drill that we just failed so hard at. But like, it just makes us come together as a team, and it also has resulted in an extreme change in team chemistry. Like, our team, just to relate our team from last year's chemistry to the team my freshman year, is like night and day. Like, I wouldn't even like consider that team necessarily like a Seton Hall softball team, the freshman year team. Mm-hmm. We like, to me now, Seton Hall softball means putting everything out on the line, doing whatever you can for the people next to you and to win the game. Just like having such a strong bond with all the other girls on the team, just to like have and achieve your common goal.
Wow. That's awesome. You saw it last year. What happened? That was a common goal, and yeah, you had it. It was Bet, right? Big U's tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one other one too. I'm forgetting. They had on the side of flip flops. They had like the BET. Mm-hmm. They had, that was like the thing, like Big U's tournament. Mm-hmm. There was another goal too that I'm forgetting. Maybe I'm.
We used to say this thing before every game. It started as now or never.
Okay.
And then it switched to just now, because we. Before every game, we would say now or never, like, we need to do this now or it's never going to happen. And then right. We made it to Big East, and we were like, now.
Wow, yeah.
Like, we need to do it now.
Yeah. And talk about that run. That was absolutely incredible. For all of us watching, it was awesome. Talked about this with Abby. We talked about it with Kelsey.
Yeah.
What a cool, cool experience.
Yeah.
What was it like for you?
Honestly, the best way that I can describe that was, like, it was, like, written for us.
Mm.
Like, everything that happened, I like knew that we were gonna win. Like, no one on that team has ever been to postseason. Like, that is just so crazy to think about, that none of us even made the Big East tournament, and we were all there for our first time. Like, Miso was a fifth year last year, and she had never been to the Big East tournament.
Right.
And then we have like Dre, who's a starting freshman. Like, we're all on the same level. None of us have ever been there. And I was a little worried before we got there, because I was like, we're going to be nervous. Everyone's going to have jitters. Yeah. And then I was nervous that we weren't going to play well because we were so nervous. And then the first game, I think if that DePaul game did not go the way it did, I don't know if we would have won. That game like started some adrenaline. So I don't know what it was. We were like unstoppable after that game. We got behind. I don't even know what the score was, but all I know is that we got behind, and then we were just thinking, like, this is just like the Ryder game. We were behind by 10 runs, and we were like, this is not happening today. We are going to come back and win. And then in the Big East tournament, that was like, how in the world did that happen? That was just like, that's what I think about every time I think of that game. Like, OG hit a home run off of the foul pole.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane. That is insane. How do things like that happen?
And, like, right above the wall, too. Wasn't
yeah.
It? Like,
yeah.
Sneaked over.
Literally.
And, like, that was
yeah.
Awesome.
When that happened, I was like, we're winning. No, like, the entire thing. Like, this is too good to be true.
Hey, now or never, right? Now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's really cool how that happened. You get momentum and more momentum. You win a game, win another game. And then, like,
mm-hmm.
you before you know it, like, oh, my gosh, like, here we go. We're doing
yeah.
this. And the fact, like, we were all watching here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know where you were at exactly.
There was ebbs and flows. Like, for that mm-hmm. DePaul game, I'm driving home, and I'm listening to the station call it. And OG hits the home run, and they're trying to describe what's going on. I'm, like, trying to run into the house to see the TV. Like, what is going on right now? But then there was other days, too. I think it was the first game of the UConn series, where we're in the pool during offseason. It was an afternoon game, and we threw it on the big screen. And we've talked about it a bunch, how, like, every TV downstairs in athletics was on to softball.
Yeah.
Like,
Big East room, yeah.
Yeah, Big East room everywhere. To, like, keep tabs on what is going on. Because as a fan sitting back and watching, you can tell it was like a storybook. Like, it was being written right there. If I was a journalist there, I'd be like, this is easy pickings. How much storylines were in it? Because, like, everything was going in the sense of, like, okay, there's adversity, and then there's a happy ending at the end with
mm-hmm.
OGs. There's an adversity again, and the Pirates overcame to win throughout the whole series. And then on the last game, I was in here with new sports director Joe Morales in the DJ booth as the in-studio host. Kelsey's on the mound, and we're just like sweating every hour. Like, And then we're joking also. We're like, Coach, we're in studio. Where's our rings? Coach, we're here too. Where's our rings? But obviously jokes. But that was that. As a broadcaster, that was so much fun to be a part of, because like we're telling the tale of this great run. So it was so much fun last year. I can't wait for it this year too.
Yeah. Really, really cool. Yeah, well, baseball team, take some notes as well.
So I wanted to touch upon too, what I wanted to ask, what it's like playing for Coach Churchill. And she said something that kind of stuck out to me during yesterday's game against Creighton. And it was earlier on in the game, and I was scoreboard operator yesterday, and the DJ. I was back there, you know. And there was one play. It was a pop-up on the first base line, and OG's coming in, Olivia Gilbert, by the way, and Aaron Howard, and I think Kira was still pitching.
Yes.
The three of them are up, and the ball, like, drops between the three of them in foul play. And all I hear is Coach Churchill say, "Someone's got to get dirty." in the background, I'm like, oh,
yes.
Wow, that was like, we got to go here. And it was earlier on the game. I think it was 2-2 still. And like, it's a pivotal game because Big East play. So talk to us what it's like playing for Coach Churchill.
Yeah. Coach brings intensity wherever she goes. Like how you heard her say that, she'll say that in practice. Like, it doesn't matter if we're playing a game or practicing, she expects that same effort and communication and just whenever we're on the field at all. I love that about her because I have always been taught, like, practice how you play. And she really pushes us to make sure that we're doing that. And we preach holding each other and ourselves accountable. And she's also very good at doing that as well. Like, she's not afraid to say, like, Hannah, you missed that. Like, I know you can get that. Like, next time, like, I expect you to get that. Like, and she does that for everybody, and that just pushes us to be better. And I think that's part of our success, because she really, really pushes us and holds us, and honestly herself too, really accountable. Her first year here, she was, like, very, very hard on us, and some girls didn't respond to that very well. And we had, like, a whole team meeting, and she said herself, she was like, I've been reflecting, and I understand I've been very, very hard on you guys, and I need to learn how to do that in a way that everyone's going to respond well to. And I give her so much credit for that, because that's not easy to do, especially if that's how she's been coaching for however long she's been coaching for. And I think that her also holding herself accountable showed us, like, wow, she really cares. And that also then turned into us caring a lot more too, I feel like. Not only to win for ourselves, but to win for her, to win for Coach Mass and Coach M as well. They care about us so much, all three of them. They say after practice every day, after we had a feel good hitting day, our whole field wants to get some extra reps. Well, they're saying and hitting us fly balls and ground balls so we can get extra reps before the series. Like, they are willing to do whatever it takes for us, which is actually ironic, because now or never from last year, our new thing this year is whatever it takes.
Oh, love it. Love
so
it.
That they do whatever it takes for us to be better, and we do whatever it takes to win. So
love that.
Yeah.
We got to really see that when Coach Churchill came on the show with us, wait for it, way back when in December, how time has flown since then. Yeah, I know. Like, mind blown. Like, how far this has come. But, like, she talked about the excitement of non-conference and playing that tough non-conference. And just, like, you could see that, you could sense that intensity with her during that interview, and, like, how, like, now that the target's now on your guys' back as being Big East champions, and you guys are coming back into this season and so far playing phenomenally. So talk to us about maybe some of the challenges that you guys have faced so far earlier on in this season and how you guys have overcome them as a team.
Yeah, our preseason was definitely a very competitive preseason schedule. Coach told us going into it, she wanted to do that to us. She did that to us on purpose, just to get us prepared to play in Big East. I think it was really good that we did that, because I was telling Jonathan earlier, people are stepping into roles and this is their first time playing college softball. Like, regardless if they're a freshman or not, they're stepping into these roles and they're also new and building their experiences as a college softball player. And not only that, this is also their first time playing in a game on the same field as everybody else. Like, it's not the same defense lineup that it was last year. It's a lot of new people joining into the lineup this year that haven't played together, and it allowed them to work together and gel as a field and as a team, but while also playing good competition. Mm-hmm. And I think that having that both together was crucial, because if we played against teams that we knew we could easily beat, I don't think that it would have prepared us as much, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because we'll still win, and then when we lose, we really reflect. And I think that's where we learned a lot, because we can always like scrape through a win, but if we didn't play well, sometimes it's not always like returned, like looked back on, see like what could I do better, because we won. And I think because we lost to Michigan, it was a close game, but we still lost. And then we look back at what happened and what we could do better as a team. And I think that those adjustments is why we started out Big East so strong, and why we're going to keep evolving and becoming better as the series go on.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Awesome. We both can't wait to see it. Now, I have a little more of a fun one here. This is a little bit of a unique one in the sense that because of your injury, you're out. But Kelsey did tell me that you've created a bunch of cheers for the season. So what has gone into some of those cheers that you've created, and do you have any specific favorites that you've made so far?
Oh, gosh. Okay. yeah, so actually, I do have them all with me because I carry them with me at all times. So I'm sure you've heard of all of the Papa Oge cheers that we've made for OG.
Yep.
We do have some new ones for her this year, this season. Those are all Christmas carols.
Oh, there we go.
All of them are Christmas carols. There are quite a lot of them as well. I'm honestly not even sure why we chose Christmas carols.
I was just asking, like, what was the Christmas carol day? Is that our favorite holiday?
We were talking about this not too long ago, and our coaches were like, why did we choose Christmas songs? And I was like, I don't even know.
Catchy.
And yeah, and that's obviously a topic of conversation sometimes when we play other teams, and they're like, why do you guys do those cheers? Why are you guys singing Christmas carols? And it just came to us, and then we figured a new year, why not add to the old ones and make some more?
Yeah, of course.
And then we were having some trouble with cheers in the beginning of preseason. So me and Caroline Hobbs sat down on our bus ride to Villanova, and I was like, we're making new cheers. We need to make new cheers for everybody. And so we did. We put on a playlist of 80s hits, and then we just started making cheers out of those songs.
There we go.
So we have some new ones.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I definitely heard some of them. Heard some of them on Sunday.
Yeah.
Not too great, because when you're in the press box, you can only hear so much going by. But when I'm calling games outside in the blistering sun in front of the press box, which is why I put us in the press box, I'll be able to hear all of them, which is exciting. So I'm pumped.
Yes. Do you ever comment about them? And they're probably like, oh, there's Papa Oge. That's Papa Oge.
I don't think we did last year. I definitely will now. Now that I know, I'm definitely going to be like, yeah, we're definitely calling out the cheers throughout the broadcast.
Yeah, we gave packets to all the girls. Everyone has their own packet.
Oh, all the cheers?
Yes.
They have homework.
They have study guide of the cheers. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
So we take out our packets when Oge comes up with that, and then we decide which cheer we're going to do, and then we just do it.
That's kind of like an intimidation factor. We have a packet for the other team, and everyone's like flipping through the packet to get the cheer, right?
Yeah, and then me and Randy made a contract
on
the back saying that you have to have it with you at all times, and if you don't, then Oge gets to decide what your punishment is.
Oh, man.
We put it on her, and she didn't even know, so...
Well, talk about accountability.
Yeah.
There is accountability there with the cheers. I guess before we move on, do you have a favorite cheer?
I do. I have a favorite Papa cheer.
Okay, all right.
But I have a favorite overall cheer as well, which is not a Papa cheer.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
It is for Jenna Blevins.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, they're all really good.
I didn't mean to single you out there. I wanted to hear about one of them, yeah.
Yeah, so there's one for Jenna, and there's one for Leela that we all really like.
Okay.
The one for Leela is very, very long, though, so I'm not going to tell you that one. So Jenna's is, I don't even know what the song is. Oh, it's Karma Chameleon.
Well, the fact that you had 80 songs and the creativity level's off the charts here with that.
I'm going to need to show you the paper. All
right. We're getting full access here.
Full access.
Pirates Overboard.
Yeah.
All the cheers. Now, we should put these out to the stands and you have to sing with.
Yeah. Now
we have contract.
So this is the Papa Oge cheers packet.
Oh my gosh.
There's a table of contents. And then this is the contract. This is Caroline's packet.
May I?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, let's see.
Yeah. Oh, these are beautifully written.
Baby, it's Papa Oge. Papa, the home run hitter.
I just saw this. Papa, please come home.
Yeah, that one too.
Papa,
we should have a stack of these before you can come enter the stadium at Mike Shepherd Senior Field. You should have the packets given out.
Yeah.
And every time you come to bat, you have crowd interaction during the whole game.
Yeah.
Papa, baby.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
That is hilarious.
And these were all the random ones that we came up with on the bus ride to Villanova.
That's so cool.
Wow.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So.
And that's volume one, so maybe volume two will come out in the near future.
Yeah.
I have another question. Does any team go in-depth like this for their cheers like you guys do?
No.
No, I was going to say, if there's any other team that goes more in-depth, I want to know about them. Because
yeah,
this is
no,
awesome.
They don't. But
That is so cool. So we're going to transition here to the more of the academic side of things. So you're a double major in business management and marketing. Mm-hmm. You're getting your master's degree in supply chain management. So what are some of the things that you've gotten to experience on the academic side of things here at Seton Hall?
So last semester, was the first semester that I really think I was like, wow, I'm going to need to figure out what I'm going to do. Like, it's coming towards the end, even though I'm coming back next year. I still want to like be comfortable in what I'm going to do after I graduate. And so I got a couple of mentors, a couple of my professors that I had at the time. And I met with them, redid my resume, looked at different like internships that I should be applying for, different things that I should be looking into as far as getting a career or just having a job after graduation. With that, I was able to actually get an award. It's called the Connie Award for Containerization and Supply Chain Management.
Sweet.
Very cool. One of my professors put me in to like be considered for the award, and I didn't even know. And I ended up getting the award, and it was a scholarship from whatever company wanted to give you that award. So I've been in contact with that company, and we've been like staying very close in communication. Nice. I owe that to all of the mentors that I worked with last semester. I no way would have been able to do that by myself. I think that the staff and faculty at Seton Hall really had, they're very welcoming, and they just want everyone to succeed, especially in the business school. I can't speak for the other schools, mm-hmm. but I have just broadened my network solely from the professors that I've had here, and taking advantage of that is a great opportunity to be successful after you graduate.
Yeah, I know you can kind of speak on the business school, but on the comm side of things, I couldn't agree with you more, especially during this last year I've had through my master's courses, where I've really sat down with the same three professors through the whole year, and they have gotten me to heights that I never would have thought possible. Like, I just finished up we talked about it with Ina, that presentation class,
right?
Where the last project we just finished up on Thursday was in a mock interview. And she sat down with us 2 weeks prior with our resume and our cover letter and, like, ripped them to shreds. Mm-hmm. But in a good way, in the fact, like, this is, you were able to get this far, like, at internships and possible job opportunities with this resume, this interview style, this cover letter, but let's make it 10 times better. And made it like a whole experience. Like, we all had the same job and we were basically battling for one job. And we had to all sit in during those interviews and watch, which was amazing to see. But I couldn't agree with you more, Hannah, about how the professors really want to get to know you here and really want to do the best for you, which is awesome.
No, it's true. And how about the professor giving you an application for this scholarship without even knowing the first way? That speaks volume to how they viewed you. Mm-hmm. Who was the professor, don't mind asking?
It was Renu Ramnarayan.
Okay, I don't know them.
She was actually my supply chain management professor last semester. So
nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that they were able to, like, hey, Hannah is awesome, we're going to apply for a scholarship, she doesn't even know, here you go, and she won. Mm-hmm. That's really, really cool.
Yeah,
love that.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. So one of the other things that you've gotten to do this past year, you've been able to work with intern with Pirate Blue Athletic Fund. So talk to us a little bit about what that experience is like and what some of the things you've been able to do.
Yeah, working with Pirate Blue was a great experience. I got to help plan and work at things like the beefsteak dinner. I believe we did a baseball event, I'm not even sure. And then I was able to work different basketball games. And a big part of what I did was calling alumni, inviting them to the 50 years of women's sports event. That was like the big project of the semester that I was with them. I called a bunch of alumni, inviting them, letting them know that it was even happening. I went through a lot of the different like spreadsheets that they had, just like for the older alumni who may not have been checking their emails or didn't get what they sent in the mail. I called them just to make sure that they knew, got them registered if they didn't like understand how to register with the link that was sent out or the QR code that was on the invitation. Just stuff like that, making sure that they were set and like knew that it was happening and just like getting them set for the event as a whole. It was really nice to talk to them actually, because it was not like Josh and Nico are great, but like it's a student athlete talking to another former student athlete. Mm-hmm. It was like just really cool to like, I remember so vividly, I called this one woman. She was an alumni and she was a third grade teacher. And I called her during the school day and she answered the phone and was like, I'm so sorry, I'm teaching a class right now. Can I call you back after the school day is done? And I was like, that's just like crazy that she's like a teacher. Like she was like in my shoes and now she's teaching third graders and mm-hmm. like works a regular job. Like I know that that's like what happens after we graduate, but it's just like so weird to think about. And just like I was able to experience that while I was working, which was really cool.
It's like actually work experience too, like
yeah.
calling people on the phone.
Yeah,
like, it's a very like important skill, especially for so many people that you don't know.
Yeah,
to learn about their stories. Was there any other cool people that they got to call and you got to have some cool interactions with?
Well, we got to at the event. I got to meet Jennifer. I'm not sure what her last name is, but she played on the women's basketball team, and I got a lot of like useful insight from her, which was really cool. I got to have like a, I actually gave, me and Caroline also gave her a tour of campus.
Nice.
That was part of the event after the women's basketball game that day. Mm-hmm. And we got to walk around with her and Flirt, who was on the track and field team, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so we spent the whole afternoon with them and walked around campus, showed them whatever they needed, wanted to see that was different from when they came here. And one of the things that she said was like, if I could go back, I would try a lot harder at academic, with my academics. And just like she's successful in her career. She has a successful like job. She like, she's fine. And just to think that like she has her whole life and she got a job and she's successful, but if she could go back, she would try harder. Mm-hmm. And I think that after that, I was like, wow, like, that's kind of crazy to hear, because we like always have these assignments that are like, oh, due at midnight and it's 8 p.m. like I need to get it done now.
Yeah.
And like I would just do it just to do it and turn it in so it's on time, and just like that makes me think of like every assignment that I have now. Like she is however old she is, and she's still thinking back of like how she could have tried harder at school, which is really cool and something that I definitely took away.
That's some great advice there on the academic side of things, just because, as you just mentioned, the athletic side comes to an end. That chapter in life closes, and you all, as a student athlete, you also have to realize the academic, as we all know, is the more important thing at times, just because, like you just said, that's the next chapter, and there's so many opportunities here on campus, whether that's you want to get into the field that we're doing right now in media, there's SOU and PSN, but there's so much to do around campus to like Pirate Blue, to get yourself involved, a foot in the door, and start making connections throughout just campus alone and meet some awesome people like you have gotten to. So we're going to start wrapping things up here. We're going to start with advice to a Pirate. So what advice would you give to any senior athlete playing their last season as a college athlete as they begin their transition into the real world, technically speaking?
To any senior athlete at the moment, I would probably say don't really worry too much about the future at this moment. Honestly, we've worked hard our whole lives, whether that's in our sport or in the classroom, to prepare ourselves for the future. But for the last couple of months that you have left playing your sport, just stay so present and enjoy every moment that you have left with your sport, and especially if you can't play after college. Just really take it all in, because these are the last couple of months that you have, maybe even just at Seton Hall in general. So try not to worry so much about what you're going to do after graduation, but more just be present and enjoy your last couple of months you have here.
Love it.
That's perfect.
Love it. So yeah. Last segment, Walk the Plank. These are going to be quicker based questions, but if you have to explain, please feel free to do so. So favorite stadium that you've played in?
Oh. Wow. I'm going to say Auburn. We started there my sophomore year.
Sweet.
Yeah, that was cool.
Hot or cold time? Now, Jonathan, you want to give the preface on this one?
We've been asking, I forget who our first person we asked this was.
I think it might have been Ina.
Was it Ina?
Yeah, I think maybe a little earlier, but the most recent one I remember is Ina.
And we were talking about, okay, do you do the hot bath, the cold bath, you contrast, and do you do the hot bath and cold bath?
I do both.
You do both?
I do.
Okay, what's your time in the hot and cold?
5 and 5.
5 and 5?
But I always end on hot.
I think this is an idea. We need to have a leaderboard.
That's
say in the cold tub the longest. Now, it might be Generino at this point who prefers the cold tub over the hot tub, which...
Wow.
Incredible.
Wow. Yeah.
It's incredible. But I think, wow, that breaking fourth wall as we did with the Joe Morales and Mike Fed. Yeah, we got to get a scoreboard up in here. Yeah. Longest cold tub time.
Hot and cold tub time.
Just
do that. Reveal as we go. Yeah.
And you're going to see guys and girls look at the leaderboard. 10 minutes, I'm going to blow this out of the water. Stays in the water for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And Caitlin, all of them, what are you doing in the cold tub for 20 minutes?
Yeah, I don't have any athletic trainers like that.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Down. Okay, go-to snack on the road.
Cheez-Its.
Any particular flavor, just the normal ones?
I don't know, mix it up a little bit sometimes. Whichever.
Love it.
Now, this one might be a tricky one. You're going to have, or you don't have to say, but this would be awesome if you did. Favorite walk-up song this year on this year's team?
Oh, wow. All of Caroline Hobbs.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. What she got?
I don't even know the names of them, to be honest, but.
No, she has three. I played.
She, yeah.
Why can't I remember?
I know.
So remember Kelsey's All Black Eyed Peas?
I was just going to say Kelsey's runner-up with All Black Eyed Peas.
All Black Eyed Peas. I can't remember. But oh yeah, I remember Caroline's was pretty good though.
What genre is it?
I think rock and roll.
Yeah,
rock,
yeah.
Oh,
are
cool.
Yeah.
Hers are cool.
Yeah. Just sounds good walking up.
Shout out Caroline.
Shout out Caroline.
Favorite Coach Churchill quote?
in the Big East tournament last year, right before we played Villanova. You definitely know what I'm going to say. The day before we played Villanova in the championship, she said, "We owe it to Vanilla." And she meant to say Villanova. And right before we... Justin was there doing pictures and recordings and stuff. So he got it on video. And of course, I have it now. And so before we played Villanova this year, I had to resurface the video. And it's just like my favorite thing ever. Because she was just so into it. And like, "We owe it to Vanilla." And I was like... I think she just said Vanilla.
Love it, Coach Churchill. That's great.
Beautiful. And last one from me. In one word, describe your playing style.
That's a great question. Wow.
The trickiest one in the books.
Yeah.
We save it for last.
I'm going to say... technical?
Ooh, that's a good one.
First one we have
first technical. Yeah.
Solely from catching. Not so much hitting, I feel.
And what, like, expand on that? Yeah. Why is that?
I just am very focused on, like, getting any, like, inch that I can when I'm catching. Like, whether it's, like, distance from me to the pitcher, like, to make it so that they don't drop out of the strike zone too early, or if I should set up a little bit further outside so that I can get that little bit more further outside pitch to be a strike.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very much, like, I don't even know how to describe it. I just feel like I need to be, like, right on top of getting as much as I can.
Yeah.
No,
if that makes any sense.
No, the attention to the detail.
Yeah.
And I, as Kelsey said, the pitchers really appreciate that. And I bet it's probably, I've never really caught before besides, like, in Little League, but the satisfaction from, like, taking a ball and, like, just nipping it right up and be like, strike three is probably,
like,
so
the
good.
Best feeling ever, honestly.
Yeah. But,
like, got the umpire, got him.
Yeah. but also the fact that you said that you work at that.
Yeah.
And that's a skill that you've just developed over time. You're constantly doing it. And not only does it feel good, like, for you, but it helps the team. The pitcher loves it. Everyone, like, that's such a small thing, like inches, we're talking about inches here.
Yeah.
That stuff matters. And that stuff, like, wins games, prevents runs from scoring. So that's awesome. Love it. Technical.
That's amazing. That does it for me.
Does it for me as well. Anna, do you have anything else to add before we wrap things up here?
No, thank you guys so much for asking me to be on here.
Of course. Yeah. So that will do it here for episode 41. A lot of cool stuff coming up. Easter break, so for everybody out there, this is going to come up after Easter, so happy belated Easter. You can watch the softball team. Now, this will come out next Monday, as we talked about, but they have a big series this weekend against Butler, and then at Butler, and then they're home for a while. They have Army, and then the weekend following, a weekend series against Providence, so make sure then a weekend Providence here at home against Providence. I said Providence six times in that one sentence, but... from Justin Osterich, Jonathan Luders, and Hannah Alexander, we'll see you next time.